You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Make It Count. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to give a shout out to all of our campuses. We're glad that you're joining us in Worcester and Canton and Dover and Millersburg and Coshocton and soon to be Cambridge. And so we're excited about what God is doing, and we want to welcome each and every one of you. Today we want to talk about this theme that we've been looking at over the past month, and that is make it count. Make it count. And we want to look at living intentionally. Living intentionally. Would that be a description of how you're living today? You're very intentional about how you're living life, how you're doing life. Because here's my concern. My concern is that we're in danger of learning how to fit in or how to conform instead of learning how to live intentionally. And we need to be looking at the person that God has created you and I to be, because that's where we will excel. That gives you and I the opportunity to be able to be elite in life by being who God created you to be, and for me to be who God has created me to be. And so as we conclude this series on Make It Count, I want to look at living life intentionally. Now, again, probably no one done this better than the Apostle Paul. And he writes in Ephesians chapter 5, and it's there in your notes. And by the way, you can follow along with your note-taking guide, or you can download it on the app. But here's what he has to say. He says, be very careful then how you live. What's he talking about? He's talking about don't let life happen to you. Make life happen. What he's saying to us is to live intentional. And it's something that all of us need to be reminded of. And he's reminding people here, be very careful how you live. Why? Because you only have one life. You only have one life, and here's what we've learned. You're either wasting it, spending it, or investing it. And so he says here, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Or we could say it like this, making the most of every season. I believe that we live in different seasons. And so we need to make the most of those opportunities. Why? Because the days are evil. And so what he's emphasizing here to you and me is not to minimize or marginalize the importance of our one and only life. Quite the opposite. What he's talking about here is that you and I should look at life with a greater perspective. That you and I should see our life strategically. That we should live it intentionally. He's trying to give you and I the nudge or the urge or the motivation to make the most of our life, to make the most of the time that you and I have. You see, God has placed you in this specific time and place and history, human history, to make the most of it, to make it count. And our effectiveness does not determine on how much time we have. You ever said this? If I just had more time. How about this one? If you were just more effective in the time that you had. See, that's what he's talking about here. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, making the most of your time. Because what happens is we don't know how much time we have. You know, the psalmist tells us, I believe it's in Psalms 92, he says, teach us to number our days, to make them count, so that we will gain a heart of wisdom. And so today's a gift. Do you know that? You got a gift today. You're alive. It's a wonderful gift from God. And you will not get another opportunity to live today. You'll not get another chance. And yet what happens is, if we're not careful, most of us, or many of us, maybe I should say, live like we're never going to die. Like, you know what? There's just always going to be more time. I'll get to that later. I'll take time for my kids later. I'll take time for my spouse later. I'll take time for God later. I'll take time. And what happens is, we act like we're going to live forever, but we're not. And so Paul is challenging us. He's nudging us. He's motivating us not to minimize or marginalize our life, but to be very careful how we live, to be able to make it count. To be able to make it count. Now, here's the cool thing, okay? Paul wrote a number of letters. And at the end of his life, he didn't just write this, but at the end of his life, he was able to write this. And this is so powerful. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul at the end of his life, his epitaph, said this: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wow. So basically, he wasn't just teaching theory. He was living out what he was teaching. And so he lived his life carefully. Not as unwise, but as wise. He made the most of his opportunities. And so he made a difference. Why? Because he lived his life intentionally. How would you like this to be your epitaph? Dwight Mason fought the good fight. He finished the race. And he kept the faith. It doesn't get much better than that. Anybody who has an epitaph like that, you can count on it. They made it count. Because they lived their life intentionally. They made a difference. Two people who are doing that, friends of mine, Tim and Debbie McKim. And I want you to hear their story, because they're living life intentionally. They want to make it count. They want to make a difference. And so watch this, and we'll come back and talk about it.
People are saying, you drive 45 minutes to go to church when you could, you know, there's 10 churches on Steubenville Avenue in Cambridge. Yeah, well, we do, because we found it to be just really, really exciting. Well, it's been an interesting and exciting journey for us, because it kind of follows up on a relationship that started when a friend of mine that's been a lifelong friend kind of circled back into our lives, because he was playing in the band at New Point.
We were overwhelmed by the building and the size and everybody there, but it was very, very uplifting for us. It really was. Made us want to come and experience church.
So then we started having conversations, you know, especially on the way back from whatever was the message was. We spent that next 45 minutes talking about, wow, God's telling me something here, that this needs to be in Cambridge. We're here for a short period of time, and I've always talked about being a steward of your money and a steward of your talents with the church. But the commission is, we're supposed to be stewards of the mission. You know, Christ was here on this earth and he said, we're gonna have a movement. So I kind of need to be a steward of that message to tell other people. Because how the church is 100 years from now is gonna be dependent upon what I do now.
I was sensing God working on Tim. I mean, I just saw him thinking and him changing his perspective or the importance of things. And
I recently retired, and I told everybody at the time that I wasn't retiring, I'm just refocusing. And my focus has changed so much that this is what I want to do. I want to be involved in what's happening in New Point, Cambridge. And it's been amazing the response that we've had now that we've had the Vision Night in Cambridge. People that we have just had no idea that they were searching for this kind of an opportunity in Cambridge. And it's been unbelievable.
It has been.
Vision Night, we end up having 100 people show up that night for that Vision Night. It's humbling to think that God picked me.
He did. It's just been overwhelming.
But sometimes you got to get off of your own agenda and get onto God's agenda. If you wait for God to tell you you're going to be adequate to do something, you'll never get it done.
Yeah.
But when you humble yourself and say, okay, God, you're telling me I need to do this. You gotta show me. You know, you gotta give me some direction here. And God never shows you step by step what's gonna happen. At least He doesn't show me step by step what's gonna happen. But He puts in your heart a vision. And then if you humble yourself, take pride out of the picture and say, okay, maybe I don't have the exact skill set, but for whatever reason, God is saying, Tim, you can do this. I want you to do this. And it's going to be unbelievable how you feel when you see what I do through you. That's really humbling.
Yeah, it is. Because when we were asked to do this, we thought, why us? Because we don't feel we're bringing it to Cambridge, do we?
Nope.
We feel that Cambridge is ready now. Cambridge will be accepting, and we're just part of it.
Yeah.
You think they're living life intentionally? You think they're making the most of their opportunities? I think so. I think so. But I think that if you would talk to Tim and Debbie, you would find out that they had to deal with some challenges inwardly, because we all battle them. And they keep us from living life intentionally. And yet, they're finding hope, they're finding help from the one who loves them most, to be able, in spite of all of those challenges, to be able to live life intentionally and to be able to make the most of every opportunity. And that's what we want to do here at New Point. And so I thank you for your faithfulness in the I'm In campaign and you giving consistently and generously so that we can support Tim and Debbie and those who are going to Cambridge to be able to launch a new campus site. And if you don't know what I'm talking about with the I'm In campaign, you can look at it on our app, and there'll be all kinds of information on how you can begin to participate and embrace this, and in this part of your life, begin to live more intentionally. But how do we get there? How does somebody like Tim and Debbie get there? Well, I think that we have to deal with three things in our life, because these three things keep you and I from living intentionally. What happens is, if we don't deal with these three items, what happens is we will not live intentionally. We will live by default. And they will become tombstones in our life instead of stepping stones in our life. And you say, well, Dwight, what are they? Well, one would be fear, one would be pain, and one would be failure. And it keeps us from taking advantage of the opportunities that come into our life, from seizing those opportunities. And I want to help us with that today. And so let's jump in and let's learn, all right? Here's the first one that I want us to understand. Your freedom is on the other side of your fear. Your freedom is on the other side of your fear. Psychologists have discovered something like 645 different types of fears that people can have. Isn't that amazing? And as I was reading, they said that the average person, okay, if you're average in this, you battle 14 different types of fears in your life. And yet what I want to say to us today is this: your freedom is on the other side of your fears, because fear is a universal problem. I have my fears, you have your fears. And yet fear can be crippling. Fear can be paralyzing. It keeps us stuck. It keeps us from living intentionally. But here's the good news. You and I don't have to live in fear. You can experience freedom. Why? Because we know that God's on our side. We know that God's on our side. So let's deal with some fears. Let me ask you just a couple of questions. What do you think is keeping you from living life intentionally? Fear? What keeps you from developing yourself to your full potential? Fear? What keeps you from being all that God is asking? Fear? What keeps you from building and leaving a legacy that will last in eternity? Fear? You see, what happens is fear neutralizes God working in your life. God doesn't operate in the atmosphere of fear. He operates in the atmosphere of faith. And your freedom is on the other side of your fear. You see, this was true for the disciples, and it's true for you and me, because one of the main fears that we have is death. Is death. And so what God has done is God has conquered death so that you and I will not have to live in fear of death anymore. Look at what the Hebrew writer has to say. He says, since we, God's children, that's those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life, so we, God's children, are human beings made of flesh and blood. He, referring to Jesus, became flesh and blood too by being born in a human form. God incarnated, all right? For only as a human being could he die, and in dying break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in that way could he deliver those who through fear of death have been living all of their lives as slaves to the constant dread. Wow. You see, what happened is Jesus came to earth and he conquered man's greatest fear, and that was death. And we see it lived out in the disciples. Before Jesus was resurrected from the dead, fear dominated their life. They were afraid of people. They were afraid of the unknown. They were afraid of uncertainty. They were basically fear-based men. And yet after the crucifixion and the resurrection, they were free men. You know why? Because they were not afraid of death. They embraced life. They embraced God's calling. They embraced everything that God was asking of them. You see, when you're afraid of death, you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of uncertainty. And yet what happens is when you come into this relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, who has conquered death, he gives you freedom from the fear of death, our greatest fear. And John wrote about it. Here's what John writes. He says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Wow. What's he saying here? Here's what he's saying. You see, he saw Jesus Christ die and demonstrate his love for the whole world. He saw Jesus Christ be resurrected from the dead. And he said, if I can be full of that love, knowing that my greatest fear, which is death, has been conquered, and that God loves me, it will drive out all of my fears. Wow. So let me ask you today, what are you afraid of? Because making your life count is not living within the confines of your fear. It's about facing your fears. It's about stepping into your fears. It's about moving beyond your fears. You see, what you fear has mastery over your life. If you're afraid of heights, you stay low. If you're afraid of failure, you don't try. If you're afraid of rejection, you don't ask. If you're afraid of the unknown, you play it safe. If you're afraid of criticism, you don't speak up. See how limiting that is? But your freedom is beyond your fear. You see, fear is basically the condition of a heart and a mind. It's debilitating. It robs you of energy. It distorts how you and I see things. It disrupts us. It keeps you and I from making wise decisions. And so what happens is we don't act in a wise decision. We act in an unwise decision. And so John says to us, guess what? There is no fear in love. And perfect love casts out fear. Now the word perfect there does not mean flawless. The word perfect there means fullness. That when you are full of God's love, guess what? There's no room for fear. There's absolutely no room for fear. And so your freedom is beyond your fear. Your fear. You see, what happens is fear is the mismanagement of your imagination. Do you know that? Fear begins between your ears, your mind, and in your heart. And the fact of the matter is, God allows you and I to choose what we think about. He allows you and I to choose what we imagine. And what happens is, if you allow fear to control your imagination, what's going to happen is you're going to live a miserable life. You'll be dominated by fear. And you won't be able to live life intentionally. You won't be able to make your life count. What we're called to do, and what John says, is let God's love dominate you. Let God's love fill you. Then what happens is you and I can move in faith, because faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. And we can have that trust because we know that God has demonstrated his love. And so what happens is when you and I are full of love, listen to me, we don't run away from problems. We run to problems. You know why? Because we're not fearful. The reason why we don't deal with the problems in our life is because we're afraid. We're afraid to have the conversation. We're afraid to act. And so what happens is we live in fear. And so if you and I are going to live a life that's intentional, we have to realize that your freedom and my freedom is beyond our fear. And the way in which we deal with that fear is we experience the love of God. And maybe you're here today and maybe you've never experienced God's love. And today you can. You can accept forgiveness. You can accept God's love through the person of Jesus Christ. And you can pray a simple prayer that will begin to allow you to know this God of love. Just say, God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I want freedom in my life. I want freedom from guilt and shame that basically drives the fear in my life. And so I ask you to come and to forgive me and to fill me with your love. And what happens is when God fills you with his love, your fear will be driven out. Some of us here, we've already done that, but the fact of the matter is our life is still dominated by fear. You're not free. And here's what Irwin McManus would say, and I believe this. This is in his book, The Last Arrow. If you don't deal with the paralyzing power of fear in your life, you will never live the life you were created to live. You will never make your life count. Not the way in which God has designed you to be. And so what happens is we have to realize that your freedom, my freedom, is beyond my fear. And the way in which I conquer my fear is by experiencing God's love, God's fullness of His love. Here's the second thing that we need to deal with, and that is this. Your greatness is on the other side of your pain. Your greatness is on the other side of your pain. Now, pain isn't a popular topic, but we're wise to embrace the reality of it because it's a part of life. It's a part of doing life. Matter of fact, pain is a part of leading. If you think that you're a leader and you're not experiencing pain, you're not leading. Because every time you lead, you're going to experience some form of pain in your life. And if we see pain as some unwelcome intruder, then what happens is we will fail to ask the right questions that we need to be able to ask to experience the greatness that is on the other side of our pain. Because here's what I want us to know, all right? Comfort is overrated. Comfort doesn't lead to happiness. Comfort leads to laziness and forgetfulness. It leads to self-absorption, boredom, and discontent. And so pain can be your friend if we embrace it. Pain can be a catalyst to cause you to grow and to be able to make use of the opportunities that come into your life and my life. It can cause you and I to yearn for something more. It can force us to stretch and change and to adapt. It can truly be a gift. Do you see pain as a friend or a foe? You see, many times pain is the gateway to something better. It places us in a place of where many times we're teachable because we're humbled and we're willing to learn, we're willing to grow. Proverbs says this about pain. It says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. And that's good. You know why? Because the tendency for you and the tendency for me is to fall into mediocrity. And what happens is we just let life happen to us. And we don't make it count. Probably nobody experienced pain more than Jesus. Jesus experienced the pain of rejection, the pain of uncertainty, the pain of betrayal, the physical pain. I mean, you could just use as a heading of Jesus' life, a painful life. And yet his pain created the opportunity for his greatness as a human being. And that's why we look to him. And so it can be of you and of me. I go back to Irwin again. Here's what Irwin has to say. He says, when you live a life of faith, when you connect with the God who created you, you realize that Jesus took on flesh and blood and was crucified, mocked, and humiliated. Pain is not the enemy of the story. Even for Jesus, his greatness was on the other side of his pain. Wow. Our family had a great friend. His name was Larry Rossler. He was paralyzed from the neck down. He was in a diving accident. And through that accident, he came to know Christ as the forgiver of his sins and the leader of his life. But he said something to my father that I will never forget. And here's what he said. He said, Jim, never curse pain. He said, I've almost died a number of times because I have had bed sores and could not feel the pain. And they would get infected. And I would be on the brink of death. And so he told my father, don't curse the pain in your life. Let it get your attention. Because that's one of the ways in which God speaks to us. Y'all okay? Irwin continues to say in his book, The Last Arrow, God did not come into human history to give you a way out of pain. He came to give you a way through the pain. Wow. Y'all right on that one? See, Jesus proved to you and me that we can have a way through the pain, and that the way in which you and I go through the pain will determine our greatness. You see, Paul, this one who said, I fought the fight and I finished the race and I've kept the faith. You know, here's what he talks about when he talks about pain. He says, God wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardship and our trials, in our pain. And why does he do this? So that when others are troubled, so that when others are in pain, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them this same help and comfort that God has given us. Wow. Who's the great people in your life? Let me tell you who they are. They're the people who have been able to identify with your pain. And what happens is God's brought them through their painful situation. And now they encourage us with that same comfort, that same encouragement that they received from God. You see, your pain and my pain is an avenue for your greatness and my greatness. Have you ever talked to somebody and you're thinking they're great in one area or another? And because I love to do this, and I said, well, tell me your story. And they begin to tell me their story. And it's filled with pain. It's filled with loss. It's filled with disappointment. It's filled with heartache. Why? Jesus said, in this world you will have pain. You will have trouble. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. It's an opportunity for your greatness to be seen by all people. And so if we're going to live life intentionally, we have to be able to realize that our freedom is on the other side of our fear, and that our greatness is on the other side of our pain. And then finally, our future is on the other side of our failure. Your future is on the other side of your failure. Now, again, this is something that we don't like to talk about. We want to hide our failures, don't we? But never forget this truth. Failure, 9 out of 10 times, won't kill you. And we vastly exaggerate our failures and its effect. It's really not that bad. It might be a moment of embarrassment. It might be a moment of discomfort. But we have a tendency to blow the perspective of failing way out of proportion. And so what happens is it limits us instead of leveraging us to be able to go and to be able to seize the future. You see, failing's not the end of the world. The fear of failing is more damaging than failing itself. So let me just bring you up to speed. Can I bring you up to speed? You're failing right now. There's some area of your life right now you're blowing it. You're failing. You say, how you know that? Because you're human. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. In some way or another, you're failing. It's just life. It's just the way that it is. And so what happens is you can make failure your friend and learn from it instead of hide from it. Here's what Proverbs has to say about failing. You ready for this? For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of disaster and collapse. Who's the wicked? The wicked are the ones that don't acknowledge it. But the righteous man says, hey, you know what? I realize I'm human. I realize I'm not always going to get it right. I realize that I'm going to fail. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get back up, because on the other side of my failure is my future. It's my future. Have you ever heard of these famous failures? George Washington. He lost 2/3 of all the battles that he fought. But he won the Revolutionary War and later became the first United States president. How about this one here, Napoleon? He graduated 42nd out of 43. I can relate. But you know what he did? He conquered and dominated Europe. Wow. In 21 years of Major League Baseball, Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs, but he struck out 1,330 times. He struck out twice as many as he hit home runs. The famous novelist Jim Creasy received 753 rejection slips before he published 564 books. How about this one? Roland Macy failed 7 times at retailing before starting Macy's department store. How about Thomas Edison? Failed over 10,000 times and yet probably would not have never become the innovator that we know today. How about this guy right here? Michael Jordan. Huh? See what happens, there's a mythology of greatness. We think that greatness means you always get it right, you never fail, you never struggle, you never experience pain, you never experience heartache. Look what he has to say. He says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. Wow. I failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. Wow, are you all okay? See, no one thinks Michael Jordan is a failure. Long after his retirement, guess what? Kids are still hanging his posters and buying his shoes. Failure didn't define him. It doesn't have to define you. He learned from his failures. He grew from them. And guess what? His future is what you and I know now as greatness. I want to leave you with this verse. Proverbs 28:13 says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes, his failures, can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Wow. See, here's what I want you to understand. Okay? Your freedom is beyond your fear. Your greatness is beyond your pain. I want you to understand that. Your future is beyond your failures. You see, here's what I want you to understand. Faith doesn't make life easier. Faith makes us stronger to deal with our fears, to deal with our pain, and to deal with our failures. And when we see it that way, what happens is we begin to live life intentionally, and we begin to make it count. Would you pray with me? How do you see your fears? Are they crippling you? Paralyzing you? You'll never be able to fully make your life count apart from dealing with your fears. Maybe today you just need to say, God, I need your love to drive that fear out. I need to know that you're for me and you're not against me. And that no matter what goes down, you're bigger than all my fears. Or maybe today it's pain. Maybe a sense of betrayal or rejection or loss or disappointment. And you know what? It's defined you. And it stopped you in your tracks. God wants you to know that he knows and he cares and that he's close to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. And that he wants to heal you of your pain. And he wants to use it to make you great. Would you just say, God, I want to give you my pain today. I want to walk in it. And I want you to use it to help other people. Or maybe today you feel a sense of failure. Maybe you have failed, and you know what? It's stopped you dead in your tracks. And God says, you know what? I want that to be a stepping stone for you, not a tombstone. And you can just say, God, I admit I failed here. And I'm asking you to do what only you can do. And so, Jesus, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you conquered fear, pain, and failures so that we could be able to live life and live it to the fullest and make it count. And so it's to you that we look today, and it's in your name we believe and ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.